Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow.
In this week's edition of Garden Talk, we get a primer on popular pollination techniques. And with us on the line is Master Gardener Ed Bajarski. Good morning, Ed.
Okay, Matt, you're pussyfooting around the subject here, the plant sex in the garden.
Okay, call it like it is, right? Okay.
Really, I mean, we don't really care about the carrots having sex, but we really do about the zucchinis and the apples and the cherries.
And how do we help them along and do that? What are some of the things that we can do?
So for apples are a good choice because they, even though an individual apple flower is perfect, has male and female parts in it, they normally need cross-pollination from another apple variety. And so we kind of need to plant that in our garden, or if a gardener wants to have apples, look around the neighborhood to see if the neighbors have apples, which can pollinate your apples.
And we
need different varieties. You know, we can't just plant two yellow transparents or that sort of thing. We need two different varieties.
Oh, I see. Okay, so
now with pie cherries, it's different because pie cherries are self-fertile. We still need bees to move the pollen, you know, from flower to flower to flower. But a pie cherry is normally only, you only need one. But then it gets complicated if you throw the sweet cherries in the mix. A pie cherry can pollinate a sweet cherry. Some, but many sweet cherries need a different pollinator also. Again, kind of like the apples. Where you go to a zucchini, now there they have a male and a female flower on the same plant. So there again, pollen needs to be moved from the male flower over to the female flower. And we can help that one out. We can do that ourselves if we want. And because they're easy to tell apart. The female flower has a little zucchini attached to it, and the male flower does not. So we can take a male flower, tear off the petals of it, and actually daub the stamens with the pollen onto the female pistils to help pollination, particularly when our weather is cool, you know, we may not have bees moving around inside the greenhouse. It's worth doing that to help the pollination along.
But in your previous example of the apple trees, how do you do that? You're not going to be able to necessarily get bees to help you out with that, right?
Well, the challenge, of course, is the size of the flowers, too, and the size of their parts. So, again, yes, you do exactly the same thing, and that's how scientists do it if they're trying to hybridize. They will literally, and they then protect the flowers that they are pollinating. In other words, they don't want some stray bees to wander through and do pollinating, which may screw up their breeding. So they actually make little, you know, they are tiny little covers for them. But again, normally tearing off the petals will discourage the bees from being interested in those flowers. So, yeah, they are small, but again, you can do that, and you have to get close and have nimble fingers and all that to tear those parts off to move that. And it's even, I do it with some primroses, which are even smaller flower parts in them to do that, to move pollen from selected variety that I want to cross-pollinate in the hopes of improving the flower type. You know, with apples, they're trying to improve the apple to get something better for disease resistance or for flavor or something like that.
And the example that you mentioned there with the first example with moving the flower, I think it was the zucchini, that applies to all kind of squash vegetables, right?
Generally, yes. And that applies to cucumbers, too, though, again, there is, of course, kinky variations here that there are. It's called parthenocarpic. So some of these can be self-fertile even there where they don't need another pollinator. Cucumbers, like I said, are a common example that don't need the bees to do the work that, kind of like with tomatoes, just shaking the flower is enough. I mean, shaking the plant when they are flowering moves the pollen within itself, within that one flower. So they will grow, so the fruit will develop.
And I remember some sort of technique in which, I guess, gardeners used a paintbrush or a small paintbrush to kind of help that along.
Yes, exactly. Well, I mean, and there you're really doing what the bees are doing, other than you're not gathering the nectar. But, yeah, a paintbrush to take the pollen from one flower to the next. And if you do several of them, eventually what you end up having is, well, you have pollen on the paintbrush. And as you do more and more flowers, a certain amount of pollen builds up. And usually the female receptacle is kind of sticky, so the pollen sticks from one to the other as you're moving it. And then there's the strange kiwis. And there, with kiwis, you normally need you need separate male and female plants, kind of like almost like the squash, except they're on the same plant. So, and people say, well, I know that one of my kiwis died, but I don't know if it's the male or the female. And then, so the kiwis are just about to bloom now, probably within the next week. So if folks have flowers, they can see when the flowers open. Again, there's a tiny white fruitlet underneath the pistil of the inside the flower. So on the females. Yes, and so the males don't have that, and instead they have yellow stamens on them. Again, some of that almost may take a magnifying glass, depending on how mature our eyes are to see that. But again, and males are more colorful than females. More colorful leaves on those male kiwi plants. Kind of like with ducks, you know, a mallard, a male and a female, the male is much more colorful. Well, that applies to kiwis too. They usually have pink and white coloration on the leaves compared to the females, which are more drab.
Okay, Ed, we got to go. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome, Matt.
Ed Byarski, Master Gardener, with this week's edition of Garden Talk, a weekly feature here on KTOO.